Well, hey, LifePoint Church, this is Britton Rodriguez at our LifePoint Delaware campus. I'm our student 1825 pastor, and welcome back to our DriveCast for today. We had a guest speaker here at Delaware this week. His name was Derek, but he taught in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, but I want to go back again to Ecclesiastes last week. We did Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the DriveCast. I want to go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 this week because I think, again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and chapter 4 are probably some of my favorite chapters in the book holistically, and we obviously didn't get to teach on those on Sunday morning, and so I want to give us an opportunity to go back. One of the most famous passages from the book of Ecclesiastes comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 7 through 12, it says, "Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either a son or a brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, 'For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business.'" Solomon would go on to say in verse 9, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to the one, to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." And so if we look at that, I think what we draw from Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is loneliness is a problem. Being by yourself, not having community or people around you is a problem. We would call that, again, here at LifePoint, authentic community. We want brothers and sisters around us. Two is great. Three is not easily broken, right? We want godly and biblical community around us because there's so many benefits to that. In my personal quiet time over the last about week and a half, I was reading through the end of the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 133, this one just stuck out to me so much, and I think it does every year, but it says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." That there's this idea that, man, it is a good thing to be in fellowship with one another. It's a great thing to be in fellowship with one another. We go look to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We see the command actually from the scriptures to not be alone, right? This is general wisdom that we gain from Psalms and we gain from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But in the command form, we see in Hebrews 10, 25, "Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." What he's talking about is, hey, you guys need to come together, build one another up and stir one another up in love and good works, and don't neglect to meet together. He's saying, actually, that's the habit of some people. Don't let that be your habit. You need to gather together in community. Here at LifePoint, we talk about two ways that we do that is we gather big on Sundays in the worship gathering on Sunday morning as a community of believers worshiping our God together. And we do that in the context of life groups, our small communities, where we can get in kneecap to kneecap with people and just talk about life and struggles and wins and all of those things, that we don't neglect to meet together, but rather we make it the habit to meet together, that it's a habitual thing. It's a devoted kind of thing. It's a part of, I like to say, our spiritual disciplines. It's a part of our devotional life. We go look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and really through 47, but it says that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship," right? "The breaking of bread and the prayers." He's saying they, the earliest church, devoted themselves to being with one another. And then you continue on in verse 43, "And all came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together," again, being together, unity, devotional life with one another, "and all had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds as any had need. And day by day, they attended the temple together, and they broke bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts." praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So in Acts 2, what we see is that they, the early church, devoted themselves. A part of their devotional life was being together with one another. And we see that the result of that is this overwhelming sense of unity that comes and people are taken care of. They're worshiping together daily. They're breaking bread and having meals in their homes together. And all of these amazing things are a result of the church being unified and being together. And so I think that just goes on to further the point that Ecclesiastes is trying to get across. It's bad to be alone. When I was growing up, my head pastor that I listened to on a week-to-week basis, he often said the enemy tries to isolate to assassinate, that the enemy wants us to get alone so that way he might take us out, that we may fail. And so let's not make that the habit. Let's make the habit of being together and joining with one another. And you're like, so what's the big deal, Braden? The why? I know you gave me the command. You gave me the general wisdom. You showed me in the earliest church. Why else is it good to be unified? Why can't I just be alone? Why can't I just have issues with my brother and sister in Christ and just leave it at that and not talk to them? If we go back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, it says there are six things that the Lord hates. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, there's six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. And then you look at verses 17, 18, and 19. And in verse 19, that seventh thing that Solomon is trying to get across, that last thing, he says, the one who sows seeds of discord among the brothers, the one who is sowing disunity among the brothers, the Lord does not like that. He doesn't like us to dwell in disunity and to sow disunity, but rather he wants us to be in community with one another. Church, I hope that encourages you today. I hope that gives you some action points today. And I hope this gives us reason to think and to be drawn into further relationship with other Christian brothers and sisters and how we should be devoted to that. Church, I'm going to pray for us, give you a moment to pray at the end, and then you'll be sent. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. God, we thank you that you would come and you would die on a cross for us, and then you would establish your church through your son, Jesus, that we can have one another as brothers and sisters in the faith, and that we can dwell unified with one another, and there are benefits to that, and that you have called us into that great thing of unity. God, I pray that there would be no disunity that is sown between us, and that we would not live in any disunity. God, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And all of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I encourage you to take a few moments to pray now. You are sent.